as I was reviewing the parsha this week, I was struck by a theme that seems to me to be a recurrent theme throughout many, many parshios and chumash. And what I mean by that is as follows. There's a well-known Gemara Masechta Sota, where we're told, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mipnei ma tiknu tefila belachash. Why is it that the Chachamim instituted that the way we daven every day is that we say Shemona Esrei silently? What's that all about? And Rashi says, the Gemara then there writes, Shelo levayish over avera, that the reason why it was set up in this way is that nobody should be embarrassed, nobody should be ashamed while they daven. Rashi explains what it means is, Hamisvadim mitfilasan al avera shabiyadam. Some of us use davening as an opportunity to say vidui. We use it as an opportunity to have an intimate conversation with God and to feel bad about the things that we've done wrong. And in fact, there's a precedent for that. Because we know, says Rashi, and the Gemara explains this, that in the Beis Hamikdash itself, we had to bring karbanos for all kinds of different reasons. Some people had to bring a karban because they violated an avera, so they have to bring a karban chatas. Other people bring a karban ola because they feel such a sense of connection, such a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they bring a karban to bring out the feelings that they have of dveikus to Hashem. And yet the Gemara says that lochila kakasav makum bein chatas laola. The person who is offering the karban chatas ends up in the same place in the Beis HaMikdash as he who is offering the karban ola, because we don't want to ashamed, we don't want to humiliate anyone. Nobody should know when I'm walking into the Beis HaMikdash with an animal, nobody should know why I'm there. It's nobody's business. And therefore, says the Gemara, we learn from there that the same rule applies by davening as well. We don't want that anybody should be embarrassed or ashamed while they're davening, that somebody's going to hear what they're saying in their intimate conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I say slach lanu, and it's something that's very relevant to me. I know I've done something wrong yesterday, I know I've done something wrong today, and that's something that I want to discuss with God. I don't want anyone else to hear. And because of that, we have arranged that a person can do that in comfort, a person can do it without having to be concerned about anyone else hearing about what it is that they may have done wrong. So we have a story, if you think back to Parshas Mishpatim, where we're taught about the unfortunate circumstance of the Eved Ivri. So how do you have a situation where a person is sold as an Eved Ivri? How did he get to this point where he's sold as a slave? So the Torah says that what happens is you have a person who steals money, and it turns out now that they have no money left to pay back those who they've stolen from. So the Torah then instructs us, v'nimkar bignei vaso. This person, this individual has to be sold as a result of the money that they stole and they cannot pay back. They have to sell themselves. That's all you have left. You have no property to sell. You have no items that you can sell on the market. You have to sell yourself. And yet, when that happens, the Torah instructs us there's a way in which this person has to be sold. Lo yimkru memkeres eved. What does it mean? You're not allowed to sell him as a slave would be sold. But what do you mean? The Torah just told me to sell him as a slave. So how am I supposed to do that? So the Medrash says there, lo yamidenu besimta. Velo yamidenu al eben hamekach. So you have an individual who needs to unfortunately be sold because he was involved in terrible things in his life. He went around stealing from the members of his community. He was embezzling money. So he has to be sold, but there's a way in which we have to sell him. The Medrash says you're not allowed to bring him to the public square where all other slaves are sold. You have to do it privately. And the Rambam, if you look carefully, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avadim, Eina nimkar ela bitzina ubederech kavod. You have to sell him with dignity and with respect. And even if you're the one who ends up buying, you purchase the slave and now you bring him home and he's yours. And you made this private deal with another Jew and now he ended up in your property. He ended up being part of your staff in your home. You're not allowed to ask him to do things that are demeaning to him. For example, says the Rambam, Kigon sheyolech acharav kelav the beis hamerchatz. You need somebody to schlep along your bathing suit to go swimming somewhere. That's a demeaning activity. How can you ask the person to schlep your things that you don't feel is within your dignity to carry on your own? Oh, yachlot zloman alav. You say to him, do me a favor, bend down on the floor, I'd like you to tie my shoes. You would never ask a member of your family to tie your shoes unless you were sick. But just to make somebody bend down on the floor to do that for you, says the Rambam, you're not allowed to do it. Mipnei shenafsho shveila b'mechiraso. Because don't you feel bad for him, says the Rambam? After all, do you see the humiliation he went through? He had to be sold. He had to go away from his family. He ended up in someone else's home. He's being sold as a slave. Don't you realize that you have to have a certain sense of sensitivity? And when you think about that, it's an amazing concept. Why do I care? The guy's a ganav. He went around his whole life stealing from other people, running a Ponzi scheme, doing horrible things, stealing everyone's money, cheating everyone he's ever been in business with. And yet the Torah says when he's sold, there's a way in which we have to treat him. Similar to what we're taught by somebody also in Parshas Mishpatim, who is involved in the act of stealing as well. And there we're told the following, Ki yignov ish, if a person steals a shor oseh, if you steal an ox, which is a big animal, or a sheep, which is a smaller animal, vitavcha o mecharo, and then you not only steal it, but then you go ahead and you shecht it, and then you sell it to somebody else. Now we find out that you were the one who was involved in this whole scheme. So the Torah says you have to pay back, but not just pay back the money that you stole, you have to pay back extra money. How much extra do you have to pay? Well, says the Torah, it depends. If you stole an ox, so we're told you have to pay five oxen back. The amount of five oxen is what you have to pay back because you did a horrible thing. And if you stole a sheep, then we say you have to pay back four sheep in the place of the one sheep that you stole. So the Rashi asks, why is it that we find this very strange discrepancy? Why is it that if you stole an ox, you have to pay back five times the amount? If you stole a sheep, you have to pay back four times the amount. Why shouldn't it be the same? Either you should pay back one for one, or you should pay back five for the ox and five for the sheep, or four for both. But why is there a difference? And the answer that Rashi says is because we find, and he's quoting from a Gemara Baba Kama, we find that when the ganav himself was taking the item out of the property of the other individual who he stole from, so if you're walking oxen down the street, you just hit them and they go quickly and you can get back to your house without many people seeing. However, says Rashi, quoting the Gemara Baba Kama Ayin Tes, when you have a person who steals a sheep, Nebuch, he has to carry it on his shoulders. Don't you feel bad for him? The ganav had to walk through the streets with the animal over his shoulders. The animal probably smelled. The animal probably was doing all kinds of things on him that were unpleasant. And therefore, says Rashi, Nebuch, we have to feel bad for the guy a little bit. So when he pays back, we're going to let him off. We're going to let him pay a little bit less than he otherwise would have had to pay if he stole a big fancy animal called an ox. It's an amazing phenomenon that the Gemara seems to have some sort of very compassionate place for the criminal. We have empathy even for the person that's a convicted felon. He's a person who walks around life violating the law, doing things wrong, and yet the Torah says there's a way in which we deal with him. And we have to think about the punishment that we administer to him. It has to be commensurate with the act. And in that, we have to take into account as well what it is that he did and how much embarrassment, how much humiliation he had to go through. The Torah even extends this even further. So you have people, unfortunately, who like to steal. You have people who like to cheat other individuals. People who are convicted felons and criminals. Okay. But here you have a despicable person, says the Torah, a shochev in behema. You have somebody who goes ahead and is involved in acts of, I think it's called bestiality, is that correct? Is that the way to say it? So you have somebody who's involved, it's not even a human act, it's something that most human beings would find repulsive, they would find it disgusting. So the Torah says, V'isha sheyiten shechavto bebehema. You have a man who goes ahead and engages in this act of bestiality, most yumas. So he deserves the death penalty. How can he keep such a person alive? But yet the Torah says, not only is he killed, es habehema taharogu also. You have to kill the animal as well. What did the animal do wrong? And we look at a woman who does that, and the Torah says the same. V'isha asher tikrav al kol behema l'rivo. So if you have a woman who engages in the same act of despicable shochev in behema, v'haraktes ha'isha, you have to kill the woman. V'es ha'behema, you have to kill the animal as well. Mos yumsu demehem bam, both of them need to be killed. Ask the Gemara in Sanhedrin, ayin hey, why is that true? Im adam chata, we know that the human being did something wrong. The human being went and was involved in this disgusting act of bestiality, and yet he deserves the death penalty. But behema ma chata, why would you kill the animal? What did the animal do wrong? After all, the animal is worth thousands of dollars, and the animal never did a thing. So why should it be killed? Well, says the Gemara, well, we feel bad. Why? Kedei shelo tehe behema overes bashuk, v'yomru, zui shaniskal ploni al yada. Imagine what's going to happen. Big announcement goes out in the town. By the way, Reuven was involved in this horrible, despicable act of sleeping with the animal, of having a relationship with an animal, something none of us would consider to be normal. So we hang up signs, we're going to give the death penalty to Reuven. Justified, he deserves the death penalty. What happens? Now he's dead. And the next day, the animal walks down the street, everyone says, ah, you know what that animal is? By the way, that was the one that caused Reuven to do the thing wrong, and that's why Reuven lost his life. So therefore, says the Torah, it's not fair. It's not fair. Because Reuven is going to suffer more embarrassment every time anyone sees that animal walking down the street. We cannot handle that humiliation for Reuven. And therefore, we're going to take away the life of the animal, that nobody should talk about Reuven any longer. It's no reason to be a topic of conversation. It's amazing. I would have said, look at the Kiddush Hashem, look what we do. That's what happens. You sleep with an animal, you do something wrong, you get killed. Let every one of our children learn the lesson. And if I would be the one to decide, I would say we should take this animal around to every community, let them know, this is what happens. This is exactly what happens. If Reuven does something wrong, we go and we kill him because this is what he was engaged in. Acts of disgusting behavior. And yet the Torah says no. We have to be sensitive. And who are we being sensitive to? Person who's not even alive anymore. He was given the death penalty, and yet the Torah says you have to go out of your way to be very careful. This is similar to a Gemara also in Sanhedrin Daf Memhei, where the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Va'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So we all think Va'ahavta l'reacha kamocha means you have to be nice to each other. In all of our interactions, we have to be respectful to each other. We have to be sensitive and caring. But here says the Gemara, we extend it even to a person who's about to get killed with the death penalty, Misas Bezdin. And the Torah says, you give someone skila, which is the highest level of misa. So you give someone skila, the Gemara says what it means is you have to throw them off from the top of a cliff, and then you have to throw stones on them if they're still alive afterward. Well, says the Gemara, you got to be careful how high the cliff is able to be. You don't want that their whole body should fall apart. You don't want them to be totally destroyed. That's going to be very humiliating. And after all, says the Gemara, you also have to make sure that they're wearing clothing as they're being thrown off the cliff. Why should they be embarrassed any more than they have to be? Berar lo misa yafa, you have to be sensitive in the time, even when you're killing them. Even at the time that you're administering Misas Bezdin, says the Gemara, lo tivazehu. You don't have a right to humiliate the person anymore than they are already being humiliated. Think about what that means. A person who gets to the point where they're chayiv Misas Bezdin, what do they have to do to be chayiv Misas Bezdin? So it means a person's machal Shabbos, he's chayiv skila. But it doesn't mean I walk into a room and I mistakenly turn a light on. It means I walk into a room, two Edom are standing there, they see I'm about to turn on the light, and they say, if you dare turn the light on, Shechter, we're going to kill you. And I say, Afal Pikin Aniyosa, you know what, I hate God, and I hate Shabbos, and I'm going to do it anyway, in spite of all of you, and I'm the person who deserves Misa. And yet I'm the one that the Torah says, after I hate God, and I say it outright, I hate Him, and I hate Shabbos, and I hate all of you, and I'm in spite of everybody, yet the Torah says, when you kill that person, there's a way in which it has to be done. We have to be very careful in the way that we're sensitive to human beings. So finally, in our parsha, something that really struck me this year for the first time, when we're told Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of his way to be Mavdil Shalosh Arim, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of his way to designate the Ari Miklat. So we're told, Az Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim, and where did he separate these cities? Obviously it was Be'ever HaYarden, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go over into Eretz Yisrael, so he separates them outside in Chutz La'aretz. And then the last two words in the pasuk are Mizracha Shemesh. How do you translate those words? Moshe Rabbeinu sets aside, he designates three cities, Be'ever HaYarden, Mizracha Shemesh. What does it mean to the east of the sun? How do you explain those words? Well, the Medrash says, it's a little bit troubling to explain them, but the Medrash says, Amar Lei, the Ribono Shel Olam told him, Hizrachta Shemesh Lerotzchim. Did you encourage, did you elevate the spirit of the Rotzeach? You think your job is done? You think you've done so much for the Jewish people? Did you make room for the Rotzeach? Did you make sure to make life comfortable for him? Until you've done that, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not finished. An amazing sensitivity. The Ribono Shel Olam instructs him to go out of his way to be Mazriach as Hashemesh Lerotzchim. It's just so counterintuitive. It's so against the way we believe. We think someone does something wrong, they deserve to be punished. They should get it all. And we'll continue to be Mavaza them, and we'll blog about them, and we'll write about them, and we'll keep on humiliating them. And the Torah says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, and throughout Chumash we find the same theme, that we have an obligation to be sensitive even to that individual as well, which is what the Gemara teaches us, Hocheach Tochiach Asamisecha. Once in a while you have an obligation to be Mochiach other people, to fix and correct their way of life. But Lo Sisa Alav Chet, the Torah says in the very same phrase, you have to be careful that when you're doing that, you have to make sure not to humiliate the person. Sometimes you watch the way parents have to tell their children something that they've done wrong, and they're sometimes not so sensitive about embarrassing the children in public. A kid does something in a park, in a public place, and the parent has to be careful to do it privately. That's what it means. We don't have a special pass just because it's our children to do whatever we want. We have to be very careful, even when giving musar, even when telling a person the right way to act, you have to be careful that it's done in a very sensitive manner. And this is something that we learn not only from this parsha, but as we mentioned, it's something that seems to be a recurrent theme all throughout Chumash, that even when you have the person who unfortunately has violated many, many averos, who is clearly an offender, who's clearly a violator of the law in many different ways, we still find that the Torah has a great level of consideration for that individual, a great level of empathy and tremendous compassion even for that individual, that when we're carrying out whatever it is that has to be done to them, we still do it in a very caring and a very sensitive and gentle manner, even as it is done. Some of the most severe punishments that have to be administered are done in a very particular way, as the Torah itself describes.